They worked a long first part of the week and tired. But isn't it good just to study the Word of God? You know, I tell you, we're so very blessed and to have this book. And I fear that it's just something we, all of us, including myself, we just take too much for granted. And we need to just sometimes step back and really think about this thing. That is the Word of God. That's not the Word of man. That's the Word of God. And this is how God reveals Himself to us. And thank God for the simple things He put in that book right there that we could so easily understand and apply. Thank God for that. But that's not all that's in there. God put some deep things in there. And praise God that if we're saved, we have the Holy Ghost which teaches us the deep things of God. And we got to have those basic admonitions and applications and exhortations. We also got to have Bible study. And we're going to have a little Bible study tonight. Acts chapter number 11, if you would, please. We study the Word of God. It involves much more than just casually glancing at what it says. It's believing what it says and searching what it says and thinking and meditating and comparing Scripture with Scripture and rightly dividing the Word of truth and be very careful and trusting God. Without the Lord's Spirit, you're not going to get it. And so trusting God to open your eyes. I'm excited about the fact that no matter how much I study the Word of God, there's more to learn. I'm not talking about finding something that's not in there. I'm talking about what's in there, but I haven't learned yet. And the more I study the Word of God, the more I want to study the Word of God. I really believe if a person is really searching the Scriptures and studying the Word of God, they're going to get nourished by that. It's going to motivate them to want to come back and do it again and come back and do it again. And whenever you come across something you don't really understand, don't let that discourage you. Let that encourage you that there's something there to learn. And when I started out, in fact, when I went to Bible college, I couldn't even tell you the books of the Bible, to be honest with you, in order. I probably still can't, to be honest with you. Don't ask me to name the 12 apostles or... I'm kidding. And I'm not claiming tonight that I know a lot now. But I will say I know a lot more now than I knew then. And I want to continue to grow in that. And I think you feel the same way, don't you? And to grow in the Word of God. And this book of Acts is such an important book. As all books of the Bible are, obviously. The Word of God. But it's one of those books that is so misused so often. I think people miss the whole point of it. It's a historical record of important events that are full of meaning and understanding what God's doing and His plan for the ages. And while we can go into this book and pull out some simple applications, that's not the main purpose of the book. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, number one, doctrine. That's the teaching of the Word of God. Understanding what it says in its context. And then after you understand the doctrine, you can make the applications and so forth. But we've been going verse by verse through the book of Acts for the past 10 years now. And trying to understand what it said. It hadn't been that long, trust me. Even if it seems that long, it hadn't been that long at all. But just studying it carefully, and we really could go back to chapter 1 again, start all over, and pull out a bunch of things we didn't catch the first time. It's not one of these things. You're not going to master the Bible, okay? So we're not looking at everything there is to look at as we go through this, but we're trying to get a basic understanding of what's being said. And in November, we took a break from it. We didn't teach in Acts throughout the month of November. But so it's been a while. It's been at least 5 weeks. And because of that, we want to begin this evening with a review of a little bit of what we were looking at before we took our break from the study. And so for that reason, we're not going to get very far tonight. I'll just go ahead and tell you that up front. But we're going to review a little bit, and then we're going to pick it up in just a little while in chapter 11, verse number 19. We left off last time in chapter 11, verse 18. Now, in Acts chapter 9, verse 32, all the way through chapter 10, verse 48, in that passage, we studied some events that took place in the ministry of Peter, the Apostle Peter, some events that took place outside of Jerusalem, but still they took place within the land of Israel. And as far as the record is concerned, during that passage, those events, those things that were taking place, predominantly the salvation of Cornelius and his household, the Gentile, uncircumcised Gentile Cornelius and his household. During those events, Peter is still operating under the kingdom program of Israel. As far as the record is concerned, it's very clear. And he did not yet know about any new revelations that Christ had given Saul of Tarsus, who will later become known as the Apostle Paul. He didn't know about those revelations that he had given that man concerning the body of Christ and so forth. We know that during the meeting between Paul and Barnabas and the apostles and elders at Jerusalem, that meeting that's recorded in Acts 15, a very important meeting that took place, we learned there, and we'll get to that eventually, I'm just referring to it, we learned there in Acts 15 that God used the salvation of the Gentile household of Cornelius in Acts 10. He used that to convince the Jewish apostles that Paul's ministry among the Gentiles was according to the will of God. And there were definitely, as you go through Acts chapter 10, some new things that were taking place that had not taken place before, and we pointed those things out. But nonetheless, there's no indication, as far as the record goes, there's no indication that Peter understood the body of Christ in Acts chapter 10. Okay? He had no understanding that a new dispensation that had been kept a secret, that was planned before the world began but had been kept a secret, he didn't understand that that had begun. And I do believe, by the way, just to make it clear, that this present age in which we're living, it came in by way of transition and by way of gradual unfolding. But that process began with the salvation of Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9. Okay, so I want to make that clear. But Peter didn't know that in Acts chapter 10. See, God's revelation to Peter in Acts chapter 10 that he would now accept uncircumcised Gentiles as being clean. We can't read into that what's not stated. And that's not the same thing as the revelation that he gave to Paul concerning how he was going to reconcile both Jew and Gentile into one spiritual body, with Christ being the head of that body, a heavenly body, wherein there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. Peter didn't get that in Acts 10 as far as the record is concerned. And the revelation Peter got was surprising to him, and it was surprising to the Jewish believers in Jerusalem. But as we showed you in our studies, it did not contradict prophecy. It was in harmony with prophecy. And we showed you verses on that. The timing of it and the details of it was kind of hard for them to understand. But we don't need to jump the gun and jump to the conclusion that because a few new things were taking place that all of a sudden Peter had this full understanding of a new dispensation beginning, and so on. We learned that Cornelius was the same kind of Gentile that the Lord Jesus was willing himself to minister to during his earthly kingdom ministry, even though he was not sent to the Gentiles in his earthly ministry, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But he did minister to some Gentiles. They were always those that feared the God of Israel and had been a blessing to the Jews. And they took their place as in humility concerning those matters, that the Jews had privilege and had priority. Cornelius was much like the centurion that Jesus blessed in his earthly ministry. Okay? Now, and if you say, well, I don't get what you're saying, right? Go back and read Acts chapter 10 again. I'm just reviewing a little bit. Let me stop here and say this, too. It'd be a good idea, while in church we're working verse by verse through a book of the Bible, it'd be a good idea for you to go ahead in your own personal life and read that book as much as you can and study that book as much as you can on your own time. Don't you think that'd be a good idea? I understand not everybody has the same amount of time to study the Word of God, but I do believe everybody in here does have the time to do it if they wanted to do it. Because after all, we all have time to do what we really want to. Is that not a fact? And so, if you have been, let me encourage you to continue. If you haven't, start back. We're done with our little break from Acts. We're getting back into it. Review, read through it, and learn what you can, and then hopefully... And by the way, Wednesday night, a Bible study, if you have questions and all that, don't hesitate to let me know, before the service or after the service. And we'll try to deal with those things and address those things. But anyway, in chapter 11, so that's a little bit of review in chapter 9 and 10 as far as Peter's ministry. But in chapter 11, verse 1 to 18, we considered the confrontation that took place between Peter and the Jewish brethren when he came back to Jerusalem after what happened there with in Caesarea at the household of Cornelius. And the Jewish brethren there at Jerusalem, they contended with Peter. They contended with him. They were upset with him because he had gone to the house of an uncircumcised Gentile and ate with him. And so in chapter 11, verse 1 to 18, Peter rehearses to them exactly what had happened. And in self-defense, he shows them and explains to them that what he had done in obedience to God. He said, "What was I that I could withstand God?" It's very important to note in Acts 11, verse 1 to 18, it's very important to note, Peter doesn't say a word to those brethren in Jerusalem about the body of Christ or some new thing God was revealing. Certainly, if it had been revealed to Peter, he would have told them. And he doesn't tell them because he doesn't know it yet. Okay? And so, if he had received such a revelation, certainly he would have told them about that. You look in chapter 11, verse 1 to 18. The bottom line is Peter saying, look, it was of God. I was obedient to God. But it's still obvious Peter himself doesn't fully understand what God was doing. And if God had revealed to Peter the body of Christ, which he's building in this present age, and the changes he was making, and all that, he would have said something about it then. Now, chapter 11, we're up to speed a little bit, hopefully. Chapter 11, verse 19 to 30. This is our passage for Lord willing this evening, and then next time. It'll take us at least a couple lessons to get through it. In chapter 11, verse 19 to 30, we're going to deal once again with Saul's ministry, his early ministry. Now, Saul of Tarsus doesn't become known as the Apostle Paul until Acts chapter 13. So when I say Saul, you know I'm referring to the man who becomes the Apostle Paul. We haven't seen him since the first part of Acts chapter 9. But the second part of chapter 9, all of chapter 10, the first part of chapter 11 deals with Peter's ministry. But now we're going to go back and deal again with Saul's ministry. And as we have seen in our studies, and we've tried to make crystal clear to you, You need to understand that the book of Acts is primarily a history book. Somebody said, well, it's a doctrinal book primarily to give us the pattern of what we're supposed to be doing today. Boy, things are changing so much, you have a hard time trying to find a solid pattern to follow. Things are changing. It's a transition. It's a historical record of a transition. And the fact of the matter is, it's recording a transition in God's dealings with man. And for an example, it's a transition. You know what I mean by transition? Moving away from one thing to another. And that usually takes place gradually. But it's a transition from Israel to the body of Christ. Now you need to know there's a big difference between those two. Israel's a nation. God has a certain program for them. They're His earthly people. The body of Christ is not a nation. It's a spiritual organism. It's heavenly. And the Bible starts with, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And He has a main twofold purpose all the way through the Bible. There's a difference between His purpose for the heaven and His purpose for the earth. And if you're going to rightly divide the Bible, you're going to have to start with understanding the basic difference between Israel and the body of Christ. And so there's a transition. You begin Acts, the body of Christ is nowhere in view at all. Not at all. But by the time it's over, they certainly are. No doubt about that. It's a transition from Israel to the body of Christ, from the gospel of the kingdom to the gospel of the grace of God. All you got to do is compare Peter's preaching in the early chapters of Acts with what had been preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Same thing. Only difference is on this side of the resurrection, and he proves that he's the Son of God, the Messiah. But everything he's saying there in those early Acts is in line with what had already been said, what had already been preached. And we've proved that. I don't have time to stop and deal with that now, but it's a transition from the gospel of the kingdom to the gospel of the grace of God. It's a transition from law to grace. It's a transition from that which was spoken by the prophets since the world began to that which was kept secret from the prophets since the world began. And the bottom line is, it's a transition from the ministry of Peter to the ministry of Paul. Acts 1 through 12 mainly deals with Peter. Now, other apostles are mentioned, but it's Peter that's emphasized in Acts 1 through 12. Acts 13 to 28, you don't read about Peter anymore. It's a clear emphasis on Paul. It's the Acts of the Apostles. Two, primarily, Peter and Paul. What the Holy Ghost was doing through their ministries. And so there's a transition there. Basically, one dispensation is fading out and another is fading in. And that transition does not begin in Acts chapter 1. That transition begins with the salvation of Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9. And therefore, you can expect to see in 9, 10, 11, and 12, you can clearly see the beginning of a transition moving away from what had been taking place before Acts chapter 9. It's very clear to start seeing how things start moving and changing. And let me give you this briefly here. You might want to jot this down as far as an outline. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. There are other apostles mentioned, but it's primarily Peter and Paul. Notice this. Acts 1 to 8, it's Peter. Acts 1 to 8, Peter, primarily. All right? Acts 9, verse 1 to 31, it's Paul. Acts 9, verse 1 to 31, it's Paul. Saul of Tarsus, but you know what I'm talking about. And then Acts 9, verse 32 through chapter 11, verse 18, it's Peter again. And then in Acts 11, verse 19 to 30, it's Paul. Then Acts chapter 12, guess what? It's Peter. But then in Acts 13 to the end of the book, it's Paul. So you go from Peter to Paul, from Peter to Paul, from Peter to Paul. Okay? And you see from 9 to 12 how that thing is starting to really begin to move and transition. And that thing takes place over a period of years. Not a period of weeks or months, but years. It's very difficult. I've read what some other men have written on the book of Acts. I've heard other Bible teachers teach on the book of Acts, and the ones that are honest will tell you, I'm talking about guys who've been teaching it a long time and studying a long time, the ones that are honest will tell you, every time they go through it, they learn something else. You're not going to master the Bible at all in this life, especially a book like the book of Acts. But that doesn't mean we ought not to try to learn everything we can, you know? And so that transition issue, if you're not aware of that, it can really cause you some problems. All right? Now, let's read Acts 11, verse 19 to 30, just so we'll see what's in the passage. And I'm just going to cover a couple verses and close, all right? Acts 11, 19. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but of the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God. I love that expression. I have it underlined in my Bible. Seeing the grace of God. How do you see the grace of God? When you see the transformation that takes place in a person's life when they get saved by the grace of God. He saw some changes in these people, and they desired to walk with the Lord and learn the Word of God, and he had seen the grace of God, was glad. And that ought to be a cause of great gladness for us when we see people get saved and we see people learn and grow. And that's where we ought to get so much of our joy. So sad that it takes a lot of carnal things to bring us any type of happiness. We ought to be joyful over spiritual things. He was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And I'll just say, if you want to walk with the Lord the way you ought to, it's going to happen on purpose, not accident. If it was easy, everybody would do it. Right? Because it's the most wonderful thing to walk with God. That old flesh don't want to do it. Even after salvation, that flesh is not interested in walking with God. That's why you've got to walk in the Spirit and purpose in your heart. And boy, there's some preaching in these verses. Let me just read on. It says, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Now we finally come back to this man Saul. He had gone back to his hometown area. And Cilicia. And then in that region, he had been doing some preaching in the synagogues. And listen, between his conversion in Acts chapter 9 and this point right here is a period of about 10 years. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Now, isn't it obvious that one of the main reasons they assembled themselves together was to learn the Word of God? They taught much people. And what was the result? And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Just by way of application, you won't walk like a Christian if you don't learn the Word of God. They were called Christians after they learned and grew and were obedient to what they learned. They learned and grew in. Now, verse 27, in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. This was before, obviously, the completion of the Word of God. And they, at this time, prophets literally were prophets. They had the gift of the Spirit to speak prophecy. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem and Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass. So, you know, he wasn't just guessing. He was a prophet. He was speaking by the Spirit of God. And it came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. I'll say more about this later, but let me just say it quickly. You remember what had happened in Jerusalem, at the church in Jerusalem? What were they doing? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And according to the doctrine of the kingdom that Christ Himself had taught them, it was required that they sell all. It was required to be a disciple, the kingdom program. Not suggestion, requirement. And they were able to sell all, and they were able to have all things common, and they could do that because they were filled with the Holy Ghost. That wouldn't work today, trust me. There ain't no way we're all filled with the Holy Ghost. So, but that was a supernatural thing, and the fact of the matter is they had it all common, and that went, they were doing that anticipating the kingdom. But Israel as a nation was rejecting their king and their kingdom, and that was going to be postponed. The kingdom wasn't coming, and now they were kind of, they had sold out and they had all things common. They were running low on those things. In Antioch, the believers there knew those brethren had done that, and they were running low on goods, and they weren't going to be prepared for this dearth. So that's a good evidence of the fact that we are now transitioning away from the kingdom program because of the fact that it's very clear at this point the kingdom is not about to be set up. Okay. It said, verse 30, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now, let me just say a few things, verse 19, 20, 21, before we close tonight. And then, that's a brief passage. There's not, just 19 to 30. That's not a long passage, but that passage we just read contains a lot of very important stuff. And so, there's no way I'm going to get it all in tonight. So let me just give you a few verses, and then we'll pick it up again there next time. Basically what you have, if you want a little outline of the passage, you have in verse 19 to 21, you have the beginning of the church at Antioch. Now that's very important because in the beginning part of Acts, it's all about Jerusalem, and that seems to be the headquarters from which things are happening. But there's a transition, and in the latter part of Acts, it's not out of Jerusalem, it's out of Antioch. That's significant. And Antioch's a very important place in church history. So the beginning of the church at Antioch, verse 19 to 21, and then in verse 22 to 24, Barnabas is sent to Antioch. Not just Antioch, I don't guess, but as far as Antioch, to look into the new development of what was going on with all these Grecians believing and turning to the Lord. And so he goes to check into those things. He's being sent out of Jerusalem. Barnabas is an interesting man. He definitely was a leader in the church at Jerusalem, but he comes to believe the gospel that Christ gave to Paul. And he's one of those that definitely transitioned into the body of Christ. I personally believe that the 12 apostles, Jesus told them very plainly, He said, you're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That has got to do with the kingdom, okay? And I don't believe that they came in. Though they could work with Paul to an extent and have fellowship, there were still some distinctions there. But Barnabas was one of those that came along and began to work with Paul. And interesting guy. He's sent to Antioch, verse 20 to 24. And then verse 25 and 26, Barnabas finds Saul and brings him to Antioch. That's so very, very important. And then verse 27 to 30, the church at Antioch, they send an offering to the church at Jerusalem. So you say, that doesn't sound real important, but trust me, it is. Okay. Now let's look at it a little bit here. Look at 19 again. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. That right there, that verse, what it's going to do is going to connect us back to chapter 8, verse 1. Look back there. Chapter 8, verse 1 of Acts. Chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. This was before Saul's conversion. He was persecuting God's people. His death is referring to the death of Stephen that took place in chapter 7. They stoned Stephen, knowing he was full of the Holy Ghost. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost. A huge crisis moment for Israel. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Church simply means called out assembly. We always take that word to always refer to the church in this age. That's not how the Bible does it. The Word of God tells us there was a church in the wilderness in the Old Testament. That's not the body of Christ. Church is a called out assembly. If you want to know what church it is, you've got to look at the context and look at how the word's being used, okay? The church at Jerusalem, persecution. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. They were being steadfast. They knew that they were to begin in Jerusalem. They were to work to get Jerusalem to repent. And Jerusalem had not yet repented, so they weren't about to leave. Some commentators try to say they were being disobedient in this verse. No, they were being obedient. But many of those Jewish saints had to scatter abroad. And so Acts 11, verse 19 tells us, now that, in Acts 8, 1, that's going back about 10 years. Okay, it's taking us back to something that began to happen about 10 years from this point. So it's going back in time, referring to what had taken place. And these Jewish saints were all scattered, and as they were scattered, maybe going back to their hometowns and so forth, they had come to Jerusalem to worship Pentecost and so forth, heard Peter's preaching. This persecution comes, they begin to scatter out. What do they do when they scatter out? They're preaching, but who are they preaching to? The Bible's very, very plain when it says they travel as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. Now, what word? What word? Preaching the word to none, but to the Jews only. These people who are going out doing this, they're going out before Saul's even saved. It's obvious they're not going out preaching what Christ revealed to him later after he saved them. What word? What are they preaching? They're preaching to none but the Jews only. And what word are they preaching? They're preaching the prophetic word concerning the Messiah, concerning the kingdom. I know that because go back, if you would please, to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Now, I won't take time to read all these verses here, but let's read a few of them. Get an idea here of what they were preaching. Pick it up verse 3. To whom also He, Lord Jesus, showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs being seen of them, the apostles, 40 days, over a period of 40 days, He made appearances to them. And what was He doing? And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And we know from Luke 24 that He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, the prophetic Scriptures, showing them that He had to suffer. Now the kingdom glory was to follow. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, you have heard of Me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord. Now, the Lord taught them, opened their understanding, gave them a complete understanding of the word of prophecy. And their question is, Lord, wilt Thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That was the right question for what He had been teaching them about the kingdom of God. He did not tell them that's the wrong question. Hey, if at this point it was revealed a new dispensation was beginning, He would have said, what are you guys talking about restoring the kingdom to Israel? Don't you know I'm ushering in the church age? Don't you know I'm going to do something new and different? No. It was still about that kingdom program. They didn't understand why He had to suffer. He helped them to understand why He had to first suffer. Now the glory is about to follow. And so they said, are you going to restore again the kingdom to Israel? And it depended on whether or not Israel would repent. And of course, God knew the answer, but He didn't reveal that answer to them. And He sends them out to be witnesses. Now look in chapter 2, in verse number 40, chapter 2, verse number 42. The apostles preach the gift of tongues. Acts chapter 2, they're baptized with the Holy Ghost for power and signs and wonders. 3,000 repent. That sounds like a great day. It actually wasn't. I mean, it was great that 3,000 repented, but the whole nation needed to repent. It was a drop in the bucket for what was needed. But notice it said in verse 42 concerning those that had repented and were baptized for the remission of sins according to the kingdom program of Israel, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Well, that would be what the apostles had received from the Lord. And so that's what these disciples, when they get scattered abroad and they go out preaching the Word, what Word are they preaching? They're preaching the Word about the Messiah. They're preaching the Word about the Kingdom. They're preaching the Word that they knew to preach. There is no new revelation for them yet. That comes through Paul's ministry. See, Paul wasn't even saved when those men started going out scattered abroad. And so, notice that they, it's very clearly stated, they preached to none but the Jews only. Now, what's up with that? Why? Are you going to sit here and tell me these men that were filled with the Holy Ghost were just being stubborn and racist? There's no way you can get from the book of Acts that those people, that they didn't want to preach to the Gentiles. That wasn't the issue. The issue was being obedient to what God had revealed. We've gone over this material. I'm not going to show you all the verses again. They had to begin in Jerusalem. And then when the Jews were converted, they would be a nation of priests to work to reach the Gentiles. But the Jews had to be saved first. And so they weren't going around preaching to the Gentiles. Look with me briefly if we can. Matthew chapter 10. I would like to read a lot of this. I want to read just a little bit of it to you. Matthew chapter 10, please. Well, I'll tell you what, let's start in chapter 9 and look at verse 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. He said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's not because he didn't care about the rest of the world. It's because there was an order there. And the sheep had to be gathered in first. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And that's exactly what he does. Look in chapter 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And he names the 12 who become the apostles to the circumcision. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I mean, it's near. The king is present. The kingdom is near. You need to repent. Be baptized for the remission of sins. See? Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. Only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Preach the kingdom and do the signs of the kingdom. Verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. So on. Skip down for time's sake to verse number 22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now he's already kind of hinting at the tribulation that's to come. He completely skips over the church age because it's not revealed yet. Notice verse 23. But when they persecute you, the ones he's talking to, in this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Was he pulling their leg? Was he lying to them? No. The revelation of the mystery had not been given yet. He's being very honest with them. The church age is nowhere in view here. He's talking about the second coming back to the earth. He's talking about the tribulation. And he's talking to people right there. And he's talking to them directly, preparing them for that. Oh, listen. Look at chapter 15. Chapter 15. Verse 21. Matthew 15, 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan, a Gentile, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." She had no claim to him as the son of David. It had to do with the covenant that God made through David concerning the kingdom for Israel. "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil," but he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Children's bread is the gospel of the kingdom. The children are going to be the children of the kingdom. The dogs would be the Gentiles. Does that sound like there's a difference there between Jew and Gentile to you? Well, it certainly does. And she said, "Truth, Lord." It's after she takes her place in humility that he responds, "Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, after that confession, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be unto thee as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. That wouldn't have happened if she didn't say, "Truth, Lord." He dealt with a few Gentiles, but it was always when they took their place where they belonged underneath Israel. Right? In the kingdom, Israel rules over the Gentiles. You got that? And so when the kingdom set up, it starts with the Jews being saved. They become a nation of priests. Then they, in turn, bring Gentiles to the Messiah. And that's why when Jesus sent forth the disciples, you say, "Well, didn't he later, after he rose from the dead, didn't he say, go into all the world?" Yes, he did. Beginning in Jerusalem. They never went into all the world. Why? Jerusalem did not repent. Another man went into all the world under a different commission. Because when Jesus sent forth the 12, he said, "Go baptize." Paul said, "Christ sent me not to baptize." That means they can't be sent under the same commission. Otherwise, let's just throw the Bible out the window because words don't mean anything. Amen? That makes a whole lot of sense, don't it? You say, what's so important about all this? Don't you understand that with this kingdom issue, there are some things we can learn, some things we can apply and get a blessing out of, but there's some things about that kingdom program that are so vastly different from what God's doing today. And you can't walk worthy of God. You can't please the Lord the way you ought to if you don't have a knowledge of those things. You ought to be sincere in the light that you have. But you can only go so far in that ignorance. There comes a time God says you should be able to move on from the milk to the meat. Babes begin with milk. When a person has been saved for years and years and they're still on the bottle, that is a condemnation, not a compliment. And so some things there that if you don't understand and get grounded in, you're going to be out of the will of God. The devil can take this Bible and get you out of the will of God. Most people in so-called Christendom this evening, they are going about, and I don't doubt their sincerity, but you can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. Most people going about trying to serve God today, if you compare what they're preaching, if you compare what they're doing, if you compare their doctrine to the Word of God, you'll find out in all reality, folks, they're out of the will of God. And that's why God said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." If you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you will not be approved of God at the judgment seat of Christ. You will not be rewarded. You see, that's serious business. And he said, "Show yourself approved unto God," because when you seek to show yourself approved unto God, you won't always be approved by man. And generally, that's the way it goes. Now, we're almost done. Let's go back now to Acts and we'll finish. So I'm showing you in Acts chapter 3, for time's sake, I'll just refer to it here. I'm trying to bring this thing to a close. Fear not. Be of good cheer. We're almost home. In Acts chapter 3, Peter, by the Holy Ghost, preaches to Israel and offers them the kingdom. Says, if you repent, he'll come back. Jesus will come back. He said, you killed your Messiah. You did it in ignorance. That he's risen. The Holy Ghost has been sent down. The signs are here. There's no more ignorance for you now. You know he's the Messiah. You know, and you need to repent from this awful deed you've done. That you killed him, but God raised him from the dead. If you repent, he'll come back. And he said he will bring in the times of restitution of all things that all the prophets spake since the world began. And he goes down through here talking about the kingdom issues and how it was prophesied and all this. And he finally says at the end of his message to them, he said, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And so when you come into the book of Acts, it's the Jew only. Later it becomes to the Jew first. And then by the time it closes, it's to all men without distinction. I know that Paul went to the Jew first in his early ministry. There was a reason for that. He wasn't offering the kingdom, but God was calling out a remnant from Israel. And during that transition, Paul did go to the Jew first, but he always turned to the Gentiles. He always turned to the Gentiles. And by the time Acts closes, it's to all men without distinction. And Israel has no position whatsoever before God Almighty. The nation Israel, God has supernaturally preserved their race from being extinct. Many people have tried to bring them to extinction. God has preserved their race from being extinct, but they're blinded and they're cast away. And they have no position before God. They're not God's people during this present age. Whether Jew or Gentile, we all got to come to God through the gospel, the grace of God. And when we do so, we're put in one body. And in that body, there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. That is broken down. If you come through here in early Acts, you see there's clearly a distinction. Listen, why would they go to none but the Jews only if they had any idea about the body of Christ? They don't have any idea about the body of Christ. Paul later writes, he said, when you get saved, whether Jew or Gentile, you're baptized by one Spirit into one body, and in that body there's neither Jew nor Gentile. And he said, that body was a great mystery hid from all the prophets, revealed to me, because to me was committed the dispensation of the grace of God. And so, those scattered Jewish saints in Acts, in the book of Acts, these are the ones that Peter, James, John, and Jude write to in Hebrews through Revelation. They write to these scattered Jewish. It says it, for an example, very clearly in James 1:1, James to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. I got news for you, folks. There ain't no 12 tribes in the body of Christ. I mean, you can try to get around that thing till you're blue in the face. This ain't going to work. There is no 12 tribes in the body of Christ. But that's who he's writing to. And those epistles have both a historical application to the Jewish kingdom church of the book of Acts, but they also look forward to the future kingdom church of the tribulation period. Now, I'm stopping there. But I'm trying to set the table a little bit to get you to understand because, and we only looked at one verse really, in verse 19, it talks about how they preached the word to none but the Jews only. Look at verse 20, we'll stop here. And some of them which were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, and so the implication is later, I believe after what happened in Acts 10 with Cornelius, these others come to Antioch and they begin to preach to the Grecians. And then there's a big number of Grecians that turn to the Lord. And when Barnabas comes and sees that, he goes and gets Saul of Tarsus to come and minister to them. That's highly significant. Who are the Grecians? Understanding that's very important. I've said some things in previous study about the Grecians that I've come to change my mind about after studying further. And we'll have to talk about that next time. But that's a big thing that's going on here in these verses. Huge. And so I just want to close by trying to get you to understand by way of application It sounds nice to just be able to say, well, I just take the whole Bible and just take it all. Well, I do too. The whole thing's the Word of God. The whole thing's the Word of God. I study every bit of it. Read every book of it. I love every word of it. Every word of God is pure. But God told you if you're going to study that book, you need to rightly divide it. And if you take information that He did not give you to follow and you try to follow it, it's going to mess you up in your walk with God. There's no doubt about it. And you're going to pay for it at the judgment seat of Christ. God is willing to work with people to an extent when they don't know. There was a time, God knows, I didn't know some of these things. And there's a lot more I need to learn. I understand that. But once I receive light, I got to act on that. I got to walk in that if God's going to give me more. And you say, what, after all, is the big deal? Think about it this way. If you were to take Romans through Philemon, the epistles written through Paul to the body of Christ, if you were to take those books out of the Bible, what would you lose? Now, there's some things that he talks about that are found in other books of the Bible, no doubt about that. But you understand there's a number of doctrines that are only found in those epistles. And they are exactly, specifically, directly the doctrines for this age. I'm not saying this about you in here. I want you to understand this. I'm speaking generally about the professing church as a whole. Has it ever dawned on you that everything I talked about tonight is right out of this book? Whether you agree with it or not is beyond the point. I'm doing my best to teach you this book right here. I think I'm pretty much just speaking right from it. But nonetheless, has it ever dawned on you that most people that name the name of the Lord could really care less? I'm not saying you now. I'm talking about in general. You know what's true. We claim to walk with God. We claim to believe the Word of God. But don't make me get into that. And don't make me try to study it. There's no interest in the professing church today. And I don't want it to be so here. I want you to, yes, come here and hear some preaching of some simple basic truths. But also, there's got to be times that we set aside and we say, we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty and study this book. Bless God, there are people in this room been saved for years. You have to have times in the local church where you study the Word of God in depth. And I hope you'll understand that. And so we endeavor. It's a struggle to stay balanced, isn't it? And I realize sometimes I can get a little bit off balance on some things, and God help me with that. But the endeavor is, yes, preach, yes, give those basic things, but yes, we still got to teach, and we still got to dig deeper into this Word of God. Why? Just to have knowledge? No, because we love the Lord, and this is His book, and we want to understand what He says, because it's His book. Father in heaven, thank you for the Word of God.